Hello, my soul-seeking friends. It's Shanna. Thank you so much for listening to Sense of Soul podcast, enlightening conversations with like-minded souls from around the world, sharing their journey of finding their light within, turning pain into purpose, and awakening to their true sense of soul. If you like what you hear, show me some love and rate, like, and subscribe. And consider becoming a Sense of Soul Patreon member, where you will get ad-free episodes, monthly circles, and much more. Now go grab your coffee, open your mind, heart, and soul. It's time to awaken.
Today, we have back with us Pavel Ityal. Pavel was a prior guest that came on to share his best-selling book, True Love and Suffering, and shared with us that only a year into his marriage, Pavel and his beautiful wife, Kat, had gotten in a tragic accident that would change their life forever, leaving his wife paralyzed from the neck down for life. And today he's joining us to tell us about his new documentary called Moment of Impact, his love letter to strangers, true heroes that were there for both of them in their time of need, becoming more than friends, becoming family. And we also have one of them with us today, Detrant Gillett, a single mother with a child who is disabled and paralyzed as well, who selflessly saw the call for help and took action. Today on Memorial Day, Kat will be honored with an American flag, honored as a warrior, a fighter, and someone who has persevered and did not give up. They are all heroes, and I am so honored to have Pavel and Dietra with me today to share the story of love, resilience, and hope. Thank you so very much, both of you, for joining me today.
Hello. How are you, Shanna?
Well, thank you so much. I did get to watch The Moment of Impact.
Thank you.
It was so good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Did you do a lot of that?
Yeah. So we've been on here before, and I talked about the book I wrote, True Love and Suffering. So the next step in the process was to do the documentary, like a love letter to the heroes that are portrayed in the book. So it's sort of my way of paying gratitude to the people that helped us. Oh. And Dietra was one of the people that actually reached out to us first and without even knowing us. So that's why she's a little special.
She is so special. I saw that. And, you know, just to give our listeners, and if they haven't listened to the prior episode, why don't you fill them in, Pavel, and take them through this tragic accident that led you to where you are today?
It's a long story, but to recap it, me and my wife, Kat, we were both sort of came from broken homes, and we were both very successful when it comes to the career and money and material stuff. We were missing out on the love, and so we were searching for a home. And to make the story a little shorter, we found each other. And it wasn't even about the sex. It was just about us embracing each other and holding each other and laying in the couch and hugging. And we were just so happy. So we, all of a sudden, we had all the material things, we had the careers, we had each other. And 1 year into our marriage, we were going down to a Christmas party in Laguna Beach. I was driving my Range Rover. She was leaning over to put on some Christmas tunes, and everything was just perfect. It was just postcard perfect. And all of a sudden, something shakes the car. I'm driving. We think it's the tire, but we still don't know what it was. But it starts to swear. So I start holding on to the tire, and it slides off the side of the road, hits a street sign, and we start going around. So we roll 3 times. I black out thinking this is going to hurt, and it hurt. I broke my neck instantly, and so did Kat. So we went from being the happiest in the world to just pure catastrophe. That's sort of where the story begins, or the book begins, in the sense that it's about how we managed. Like, how does two people with broken necks managed this? And to make it even worse, none of my family members wanted to help for various reasons. And none of Kat's family members could help for various reasons. So we were two people with broken necks with no help. That's where all the chaos started. And that's where the film comes in, really, to showcase that even if you're at your lowest, there is people out there.
Yes. And one thing I found remarkable about your story is there was one person that helped out early on. Did you ever find that person, the mysterious man who was at the scene?
Yeah. One, after the car rolled over, I sort of pushed myself out the window and went looking for help because I could still move, even though my neck was internally broken. A couple of ligaments held it up. And as I'm walking down the highway, waving my hands, no cars are stopping, a person dressed as a vagabond, just draped in like rags, stopped and said, "Do you want help? Do you need help?" And I said, "Yes, call 911. And no, I didn't find him. I actually went back looking for him. I didn't find him. Maybe it was a vagabond. Maybe it was an angel. Maybe it was the third person, as they say, they call when you're under extreme stress. And it's like they say that you create a third person.
Wow.
That helps you. So people like who've been mountain climbing or people under deep, deep duress in wars, mountain climbing accidents, sometimes create another person of themselves to help them because it's just too much going on. So I don't know.
Well, yeah. I mean, I do believe that we can manifest stuff like that coming into your life to help you.
Yeah,
we're creators. Something we forget.
Yeah, no, I agree absolutely. And I think I was talking to another person, I think it was Gordon Brewer, about how when we're in these situations that are deeply traumatic, how we somehow then become more united with everything else. Like we feel everything more intense and we're more connected with like the universe or everything else. And so, yeah, I agree. Like I think these deep traumatic experiences opens up something within us, something that we've been hiding or we don't get to access it every day, but we access something else. So,
like those near-death experiences,
right.
You know, we've had many of those on our podcast and I've talked to many people and it's amazing because a lot of them, you know, share very similar experiences, you know, and going, you know, almost to the other side. Did you or Kat feel like you guys had a near-death experience in some way?
In all honesty, no. For me, it was, I knew I was going to die because you could feel that. But for me, it was just blackness. It was just black. And I don't mean for anyone to be sad or put off by that. But for me, all I felt was regret. I was not ready to die.
Right.
Yeah, it was horrible. So it's a cliche, but it's a true cliche. Now I live every day as if it was the last one. Because if you can live with no, I mean, if you can die with no regrets, that's, I know now that's what I want. I mean, so.
And also, I think it is remarkable the strength that you had. You shouldn't have been able to do the things that you did coming out of that car.
I think maybe that part, I was able to just out of pure physical force, so to speak. I was an athlete and I have all the adrenaline pumping. But what I couldn't do was all the stuff afterwards. That's where I needed people like Dietra, ordinary angels to help. That's where I needed other ones. I could not have done it with other people. That's for sure.
Yeah. And I do believe there's angels on earth as well as in human form. In Dietra, it sounds like you were that for Pavel. And so tell us what made you contact them. I know that you had saw something on Facebook.
Correct. I just felt the need to be there for my own experiences. I know what it's like to go through trauma in life or go through a difficult time and people are shut off. They want nothing to do with it. It's almost as if it's contagious when you're going through something. And I didn't want Pavel or anyone to feel that way, but it was Pavel's pleas for help that just struck a chord with me. And I knew I needed to be there for both Pavel and Kat, even if it was just for a listening ear.
Mm-hmm. Were you local to them?
Thankfully, yes. I was local in the Los Angeles area. I reached out to Pavel via Facebook and asked him if he needed anything and offered to come over once Kat was out of the hospital. I think she was released within that week or two. And I was able to finally meet both Kat and Pavel. And she's just such a beautiful person. They both are.
So now you guys have become friends, family.
Family. Pavel. Family. Stronger than family.
Oh yeah. My God, I love that. Yeah. Like a soul connection.
Yes, yes.
But now tell me, so I mean, I get the vibes. You are very nurturing. Who are you, Dietra, you know, in your life? You know, what roles do you play?
For me, I am a mother, and I do have a special needs child where at one point it was day by day. We didn't know if she would live. She was in the hospital for over 7 months. Some instances where doctors were not very helpful. They were telling us we should pull the plug on her. But as a mother, you know, I think not just a mother, if you have feelings, even with an animal, you can tell if there's life and if that being is fighting to live. And I always felt that my daughter wanted to be here and that she was putting forth a fight to be here. So I always advocated for her. I still am. And I will do it for others. If I see that there's a need, if I have experience in certain areas, I'll step in a minute.
God bless you. We need that too. I have a son who's on the spectrum. Yeah. So I understand having to be that advocate for your kid. I find it interesting. I don't know about both of you, but I hate when I hear some of these predictions given by doctors, like, oh, this person will never do this. Or I had one guest on who was, you would absolutely love the story, Dietra. It was about a boy who was diagnosed with autism. And they had told his mother, Heidi, that he had the brain of a 5-month-old, which later in life, they discovered that was so not true. Wow. But for 12 years, they kind of treated him as if he had the brain of a 5-month-old, wow. Which he didn't. And so I hate those kind of diagnoses, or you're going to die in 6 months, right? Like, Well, maybe if you told me I'm going to die in 6 months, I might die in 6 months.
Yes, thoughts are very powerful. The language we have inside of our brain is very powerful.
Yeah. Giving our power away
exactly.
to these doctors and such who put these limitations on us. Yep. And especially they're so quickly to do it to our children who knows best. Mom knows best, like you said, you knew.
Yeah.
Pavel, what did they tell you about you and Kat's recovery? I do know that many of the staff in the hospital, the doctors and nurses actually became part of this family that you talk about though.
Our neurosurgeon, Dr. Farron, is probably one of my best friends right now. Mm-hmm. And it's for a different reason. It's because she was so honest. She, in the trauma bay, not even in the ICU, but where the ambulance comes in, right there in the trauma bay, she examined Kat, she examined me, and she leaned over and told me, looks me straight in the eyes. Mm-hmm. And she's a little small Iranian woman with dark skin and like dark eyes. And they have the way of looking at you like only people from the East can look at you. They stare at you. And she said, look, your wife is going to be paralyzed for life. You need to be strong. I took that to heart and repeated, I have to be strong for Kat. I have to be strong for Kat for 3 days and 3 nights. And I never stopped. Going back to what you guys were speaking of, the mind truly can heal. If there's a possibility, the mind can heal it for sure. And those 3 days and three nights made me not feel sorry for myself. So I didn't go down that deep well of feeling sorry for myself. Instead, I grew. I started being stronger right there and then. So,
how long have you guys been married?
Well, only 1 year. So I searched for 40 years for the perfect wife and I found her. And we had 1 year of bliss, 1 year of happiness. Yeah. So that was, that was sad. Or Kat usually says that she got 1 year of happiness in her whole life. We're happy now too, but yeah, it was tough. But then again, like we have these ceremonies, like we get married and we say for richer or for poorer, so are those just words or are they true? Like you say the words, but then you have to prove it. Like, so, and that's what we're doing. We're proving that to ourselves now. I usually say that if my wife was not in the accident, if it was only me, I would still want to go through with the accident because you grow so much as a person.
It's so hard, Pavel, sometimes it's hard for me to ask for help. But then in this situation, both you and Kat are not from the States. So right. Neither of you had family here. So how important was it for you to not be like, I can do this all by myself?
Yeah, it's tough. I'm self-made. Like, came from Sweden. I was a pretty famous director in Sweden, came over to America and got a job with American Media Inc., you know, one of the best photographers in America in my field. So, I mean, I'm a self-made man. So going from being self-made, driving a Range Rover with my Rolex watch, all the material stuff, but still self-made, to having a broken neck with a wife with a broken neck. And it's tough, you know, because you realize that you need so much help. There's just no way you're going to be able to do this by yourself. And that's what Dietra saw. I mean, I was angry at the world, right? I was crying and screaming out on Facebook in big, bold letters, you know.
Dietra, what did that look like when you walked in the scene? What did you walk into?
The first thing that stands out to me is Kat's beautiful eyes.
She is beautiful.
Beautiful, beautiful person. And Pavel, someone who's filled with love and was doing everything possible to be there for his wife. Pavel also had a halo on, and my heart sank because he was injured himself, but he was trying his best to accommodate and make sure his wife was fine. And it broke my heart. It broke my heart because these are two beautiful, beautiful people, young, but yet doing everything that they can to make it with these circumstances that were given to them. I knew that I just wanted to be there for them. Whatever I could do, I wanted to be there for the both of them.
And how did you help? Like, what were things that you were able to do for them?
In that visit, I was able to bring lunch for both Kat and Pavel. And I just kind of looked around the apartment to see, what can I do to help? You know, I didn't want to be too invasive because I had just met them. Mm-hmm. But I know from my personal experience, I'm that person who says no to people, you know, because I want to control everything. I've had experiences where someone came around and they may have noticed something and cleaned up, you know, without telling me. And that's what I did. I just took observation of their place and looked to see what I can do to help. I remember Kat had on jeans. And I know my daughter has paralysis as well. And so it's very hard to put normal clothing on her if you have to change her diaper. So the first thing that came to my mind was getting Kat some stretch pants. So I left. They were having a party that evening. And I told Kat, I said, I'll be right back. Her sister, Sherry, had came over at that time. So she wasn't alone. And Pavel was there as well. I told her, I'll be right back. So I ran to the mall, which wasn't too far away. And I looked for every stretch pants in Kat's size that I could find. And I brought it back to the house for her. And she thanked me for that. And just to see the gratitude in her eyes and her thanking me, it felt really good that I could do just that small thing to help out.
Yeah.
And I started to visit them very often, call Kat, message her, pop in. And if it was never a chance where she didn't want to be bothered, but if I could sense that she wanted alone time, I would leave. But I just wanted to make sure she was okay and that she knew she was loved. And the same with Pavel. I always wanted them both to know that they had family and that they were both deeply loved.
Yeah, I can imagine that the support had to have been a huge need for Kat, because also the mental part of it.
Yeah.
Pavel, you talked about this a little bit the last time you were on, and I think she was going through a little bit of some depression and some stuff. Has it gotten any better?
Oh yeah, I want to say that the first thing for me was that Dietra showed me that someone cared. She showed me like there's people out there that actually care. Because when you're in the hospital, like my dad said, everything is easy in the hospital. You have 24/7 care. Like you just, you know, snap your finger or blow your horn or whatever. People will come and help you. But then once you're home, people think, well, they're home now, they're okay. So that's not the case. That's when it starts. That's when the pain starts, because you have no one. So what Dietra showed me, that she showed me that there's love in the world. There is people out there that can help. When it comes to Kat, yeah, it goes up and down. Paralysis is paralysis. It's tough, right? She can't move anything. So she has her good days and her bad days, just like you and I have our good days and bad days. So, but it's more good days than bad days now. There, with time, the good days take over the bad days. So,
oh, that's so good to hear. And she did not have any like brain damage, or did she? Did she have any brain damage?
No. No. That is, I think, what saved us, so to speak, that she's totally clear in her mind. She's very smart and I don't know if you know now, but she actually works full-time for Space Force right now.
What?
So, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, I live in Aurora, Colorado, where the Space Force is right here.
There we go.
Yeah. And I have a lot of clients here from there.
Yeah. Yeah, so she sits with three screens in front of her at home, and she works with it's a stick, basically a pen, I would say, with a little thing that you can just tap on. So it's like one finger. So with one finger and her voice, she does what any other person would do with 10 fingers and a voice. So she's an exec for a general, and she runs a team in Space Force. So yeah, it's cool.
My gosh, that is so amazing. Mm. Yeah, I think I actually even have shared her story with maybe some of them, you know, back when we had the episode. That's remarkable. Good for her. That probably really, really helps when it comes to
it. Does it? I mean, it gives her purpose, right? That's so important. Or we see that in her, that once you lose your purpose in life, it really, really, like the light goes out of your eyes. Like the day she got hired, and it was a legit hire. She was, you know, it was her or this guy. And the way she was hired, it just lit up, and she had a purpose. She had meaning. She could contribute. Just being able to contribute to the world was so important. And I guess you see that with people who doesn't have any purpose, paralyzed or not, how they kind of just like wander. There's no direction. So direction and momentum, super important.
Well, in a time where I'm often frustrated with our government, that just made me very happy that they would do that. So.
Yeah. If there was one thing good with COVID, it was that it gave the disabled community a second chance, because like in the military, they don't use video. So no one can see that Kat is paralyzed. So for other people in Great Britain or allied forces, which she has daily contact with, she is just like anyone else. And it's just obviously not just her, but a lot of other people with different disabilities got work during COVID just because there was no video. So there was no judgment, right? Yes. So, and which also tells us a lot about people. But so it gave the disabled community a comeback, you know, a good comeback.
I love that. I really, truly love that. Well, you know, my son, who is now 20, went on an interview. And when the woman asked him, so why would you want to work here? He goes, well, I don't want to work here. He failed.
Good one.
He's honest.
That's one thing about kids on the spectrum. They are very honest.
That's awesome. I love it. Did he get the job?
He's not quite ready. No, but yes, I think that is so beautiful. I am so happy to hear that for her. She's such a beautiful person. You know, Pavel, can you tell us about her before? Because I know she was athletic. She was in the Air Force. She was a runner. Am I right? Do I remember that correctly?
As we did a documentary, I talked to a lot of people about Kat, and I discovered more and more things about her. And as we're now preparing to do a feature film based on the book, I'm talking more and more with Kat. And I think what was to the core to why she is such an inspiration for so many is that when she was young, she was brutally raped multiple times by her mom's boyfriends and people in the neighborhood. And they were dirt poor. I mean, they had nothing. So everything she ever got was given to her by tourists or people on the street. So that's how she became a giver, which makes sense, but just I had no idea. But she told me, yeah, that's like everything I ever had, someone gave me. So she learned early that the part of giving, so to speak. And then I think she also learned that she had to trust herself and she had to fight to survive in this world. I mean, she got a dose of reality pretty early. Hence, I think she just put a line, straight line, and she never stopped. You know, that's why she's a triathlete. She's a century bike rider. She's an Air Force major. Now she's in Space Force. She just never stops. And as someone puts it in a documentary, if she stops, she'll die. And I think that too. I think if she ever gave up or stopped, she would just wither away. So she has to keep going. But I think that goes for most of us. Like we have to find a reason to get out of bed, and that's
Well, for you too. I mean, it has to be really hard.
We're becoming more and more normal, so to speak. Yeah, so, I mean, right. And that's also thanks to our heroes.
You do vacations, I think, the last time you
went. Yeah, we've gone on two trips now. And I mean, last trip we went to Belize, we had 10 people around us, most of them from the military, and they never left our side. I mean, they just never left Kat's side. I mean, Carlos and Florita, they never left her. I mean, 10 days straight. There was not a single second that Kat didn't have those two people next to her. And then we have eight other people. But with people like heroes, with ordinary angels like Dietra, you can do anything, right? It's just, there's no stopping.
Dietra, I know if you're anything like me, which I kind of sense that you are, what has Kat and Pavel done for you? How have they blessed your life? Because I do know, you know, you probably originally just wanted to go and help, but then probably in turn have found that you've been blessed so much too.
More than I can ever describe the blessing. I mentioned my situation with my daughter. I still have no help. Mm. Some of it could be my personality where I tell people, no, it's okay. It's okay. But Kat is someone who won't take no for an answer, but she's very good at reading between the lines. And I was in a situation where I lost my place. My family was homeless. I got very ill, was a full-time mom, single mom, taking care of a daughter. My days would start at 4 a.m. You know, my daughter, she has paralysis, so I have to stretch her. She can't do anything for herself, get her ready for school, I have two boys and a daughter, make sure the kids are fed before we leave. We would leave the house at about 5:30 a.m. to get my daughter to her school bus across town, which is about an hour drive. Then I would have to drive another hour to get to work and, you know, get my boys to school. I got sick. I had Bell's palsy and I also had like heart palpitations. My doctor told me, you need to take off of work. You're going to die. You're going to kill yourself. Because I was that person who just kept going, 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 going. Never took a day off of work. So matter of fact, when I was in the doctor's office, my boss kept calling me and the doctor said, hang up the phone. That's how bad it was. Anyway, in a situation where there's no income coming in, I blew through my savings account, pleading with my family to help. And they refused to help. I didn't know what else to do. So the day before I had to leave my place, Kat messages me. And she says, hey, Dietra, what are you doing? And I tell her, oh, I have to move. She says, what? Where are you going? I said, I don't have anywhere to go yet. Who's going to help you move? I said, I'll figure it out. I get a call from Kat. She says, we're showing up in the morning. I have help. And we got the U-Hauls. I got it covered. I'm going to start crying. My parents have a delivery business. They have trucks. They were just blocks away from where I lived and they refused to help. They have means. Kat showed up in her wheelchair with her stylus pen, moving her wheelchair, and she orchestrated the whole move. Calm. I couldn't even think straight because I couldn't believe what was happening. Pavel, Kat, Pavel's friend from Sweden, Ted, our friend Chris, Chris's dad, who was visiting on vacation. Kat's nurse helped me with my daughter. I barely had anything packed. I was in shock that this happened. I'm someone who works hard. They got it done for me. I was like paralyzed. I couldn't do it. Got it done.
Wow.
My situation has gotten better, but I would have never in my life imagined, because I'm a giver, I do for people. I would have never imagined that I would be in that situation. There's some pride to it, you know, where you don't want anyone to know, but Kat picked up on it and she made me feel like you will be okay. And we had nowhere to go. Kat called me and said, we got two beds in our extra room for the kids. And Pavel gave me his bedroom. So I, like I said, closer than family. Kat helped me look for places. She was calling places. And to this day, she'll tell me, I wish, because I now have moved out of the city, you know, to a more calmer surrounding in the country where I feel like we can heal. My daughter has better access to services. But to this day, Kat will tell me, I wish you were closer so that we could help more. You know, even with her nurses, you know, I wish you were closer so I could help you more is what Kat will say. I wish you were closer so I could help you more. I have never heard that from my blood family ever, ever.
Wow.
Kat's my family, and so is Pavel.
Oh my God, that is so beautiful. What a beautiful person Kat is.
And Pavel. I would do anything for both of them. Anything.
I'm like that too, girl. I will be drowning and going under.
Yep.
People putting their foot on my head.
Yes. I reached out for help. I've never done that, but I didn't know what else to do. And the people who you think should be the ones to help you, nothing. And it's not just me. I had three children. A daughter who's disabled, who's paralyzed at that, nothing.
And Pavel and Kat know this more than anyone.
Yep.
They experience this.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just a like a really good example of circle of good, right? You help someone and they help you back, and then you just put more good out in the world. Yeah. I was in the Swedish military, in the Swedish Air Force. It's like people... It's that brotherhood you have when you're in the military that you would die for the next person and that person would die for you. And I think it's, you go through something like that, something, it's deeper. It's so much deeper than family. It's like you really, I don't know how else to explain it, but yeah.
Deetra, where do you live?
I live in Santa Clarita now, which I love. Originally from Los Angeles, but my parents as well are Belizean like Kat.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yes.
Did you know that? That's so remarkable.
Yeah. When Pavel was telling his story online, I was starting to follow him. I connected with Pavel through my cousin, who was Kat's best friend in Belize.
Okay.
So my cousin would share Pavel's post, and it just struck a chord with me. Like, I looked to see, are there any updates? I was concerned for them both and didn't know them. And, it was Pavel pleading. He was pleading online for help. And I said, I have to do something. So I immediately reached out to him after I saw that post.
Wow, you guys might even be related.
Possibility.
Well, listen, that's one of the things I do is ancestry. If you're from Louisiana, then we're likely related.
Yeah.
So I'm sure in a smaller country like Belize, we're all connected somehow, but it gets smaller when you're from the same country.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it at all. I'm like you. It sent me on a journey where I kept looking in the past. Mm-hmm. So I started to look at myself, examine my parents, kind of judging grandparents, great grandparents. What were they like? It sent me on a rabbit's hole, and DNA test, just analyzing everything, this puzzle. I found a lot of information. I got some closure, but in the end, I came back to myself, where no matter what people went through in life, no matter what trauma they had, I don't have to choose that for myself.
Amen.
And I can be the person to break cycles as well, so that my children don't have to go through what I went through or what my ancestors went through.
That's right. Yay. So, awesome.
In the end, I came back to myself, looking in the mirror. How can I be a better person?
That was me too, because you know what? This pattern of me, you know, not asking for help I'm not the first person.
Yes.
But it does live within us. However, it stops with me. It stops with you.
Yes.
Congratulations on that.
Yes, thank you.
How old are your children?
My older son will be 21 in a few days. I have a 19-year-old and my daughter's 13.
I have kids from, my oldest son will be 26 in July.
Nice.
And my youngest is 11.
Nice.
Four.
Beautiful.
And they have no problem asking for help.
Good.
But I have no problem telling them no now. Do it yourself.
Yes.
Which is something I had to also break in my family.
Yes. And it's okay. You know, it's so I had to learn boundaries. I was programmed to think that I had to buy love. I had to give, or no one would love me.
Yeah, and that's your love language. Huh?
Yes.
Acts of kindness. That's what I was thinking.
Yes.
Yeah. What about you, Pavel? What is your love language? Do you know?
Yeah, Kat says it's all of them.
Oh, that's perfect. You should be.
Yeah.
What about Kat?
Acts of service, for sure.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Before the accident and after the accident. So,
Well, then that works out for her. She probably feels tons of love.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, and love is the most powerful and most healing energy. I know this because I'm an energy worker and I'm always so amazed at the power of the heart chakra. The energy that comes off of the heart is just, oh my gosh, it's like a miracle that someone has that much loving energy. But like, what are we doing with it as humans? Yeah. What are we doing with all of this powerful, like magical energy that we have in the heart? I know what you guys are doing with it. You guys have demonstrated that today.
Thank you. Yeah, we're trying with the documentary, we're trying to show the world good. We're trying to show that there are good people out there, and we're trying to show that they can be a good person to someone else and that it doesn't take that much. All it takes is to sit next to someone or call someone, as Dietra said. You don't need money or fame or fortune. You just reach out. So the connection, as you say, Shauna.
Does Kat have any sort of spiritual beliefs? Or?
Yeah, she was a believer before the accident, and then after the accident, not. It's tough to believe in something higher when you're robbed of everything. So yeah.
Well, I've been grieving my religion for years. It's definitely a part of my journey. It's not that I am not spiritual, but just the religion part I've kind of been grieving. But I think it's come up for me several times with you guys today, thinking about, I always have this vision of Jesus like hitting people upside their head, like when they cross over, like, you didn't get it. And I just think that, you know, he was a great example, right, of just helping those who were less fortunate, right? I mean, he didn't hang out with like the alumni and the most religious people in the high societies, right? He hung out with those who needed.
Well, I can speak hours about that subject, how people call themselves Christians or believers and then don't act on it. Like it's just something they say and there's no action behind it. And I know Dietra will agree with me that doing is what shows what kind of person you are. It's only the doing that the talking doesn't do much for the world, but the doing will. So there's a disconnect between the act, the believing, and the actual doing the believing, so to speak. So, but that's a different podcast, I think. But
don't talk about it, be about it.
Right.
It's the action. You're right.
I mean, that's why I think wanted Dietra to be here today. She's all about it. She didn't know me. She didn't know Kat. And yet she came to help. And who does that? Like, I mean,
and with her circumstances.
Right. Exactly. Right? Yeah. No, it's just, there's some Indian doctor who built a hospital in India for people with heart valve disease. And he said, and everything good needs to be documented because there's just not that much around. So I guess that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to document it. And as you are, Shauna, sharing your podcast with the world, right? We're trying to spread the message. That's important.
Oh, I am so honored to share you guys' story. It's so beautiful. It inspires people, right?
Right.
And I know it's touched me. I mean, I've been crying like almost the whole time.
Well, those are good tears, right? Those are good tears.
Happy. Yeah, they're happy tears for just the kindness that you guys both have demonstrated. And did you know that happy tears, they did a study on tears, where the tears of sadness had toxins. So it was like your body's natural way of getting out the toxins. So get them out.
Wow.
But they did not have toxins in tears of happiness.
Wow. That's crazy. Wow. Logical, but that's crazy. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So let it out. Let it out. It's a good way to just detoxify. Just cry your eyes out.
Right.
And you have to. I'm sure you do, Pavel. You do, Dietra, have moments. I know you know, we were joking about cussing, but even screaming and cussing, and you have to have those moments.
For me, I could not cry. I was so overwhelmed. I wish I could cry, but
like, I don't have time for this.
Not that I didn't have time, but my body just wouldn't release it. Mm. And I remember when I finally got relief in a state of joy and being grateful, I just broke down and cried. And I hadn't cried for years for what I went through. For me as a mom, it was, I have to be strong. You have to get up, no excuses. You got to be strong. So there was, I guess in a way, no time to cry. I finally let it go when I felt safe and it felt good to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I know friends who have told me they go in the shower sometimes to cry. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to watch This Is Us. Have you ever watched that? Holy crap. I mean, I would cry every week. Sometimes I just had held it in all week and just needed a good cry. Wow. You've been there, Pavel?
Yeah, I identify with Dietra in the sense that I didn't either, like you said, didn't have time to cry, but I have let it out, and it is a wonderful feeling, but I'm also a sucker for movies. So I guess that's my excuse for crying.
Yeah. Has Kat had her chance to scream and cry?
Yeah, she's a lot. There's been a lot of screaming and a lot of crying, and it's needed for her, for sure. She's had the biggest loss, and I've actually had the biggest gain. So there was more need for her to cry and scream. Yes. Yeah.
Oh my God. You saying that you've had the biggest gain. Explain that.
Well, I had the biggest gain because, I mean, enlightened is a strong word. It's a big word, but I feel like I've been enlightened, and I feel like I'm true to myself now. I know who I am, and I've proven myself to myself. So I feel like I'm walking in my own shoes. I know who I am, and I'm respected. I respect myself, and other people respect me. And I don't know what else can be better than that. I mean, it's just, I'm walking on clouds every day. Like, I could be homeless with no money and no clothes, and I would still be fine, you know, because I respect myself.
I bet Kat would have a whole army after you if you were. Like she did for Nitras. I really appreciate you guys coming on. You're such beautiful souls. I feel so blessed to be sitting here with the both of you. I'm serious. It just feels yummy.
We feel warm inside too, Shauna. We're warm and fuzzy inside.
Oh. Yes.
Well, thank you both for being with me. Pavel, please tell everyone where they can watch this.
Yeah, Moment of Impact. So it's on Amazon right now. So that's the way to find it easiest. So yeah. Search a Moment of Impact.
Can't wait to share this with everyone. And thank you so much, Dietra, for being with me too. You're such a beautiful soul and an example of what humans should be.
Thank you, Shauna. Thank you so much for having us. You're a darling. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Aww. Is there a website to also locate your book, right?
Yeah, truelovethebook.com. Truelovethebook.com is where you can find everything book and movie related. So yeah, awesome. That's a good place to go. Right.
Well, thanks, you guys. Tell Kat I said hello and have a beautiful day.
You too, Shauna. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to Sense of Soul podcast. And thanks to our special guests for joining me. If you want more of Sense of Soul, check out my website at www.mysenseofsoul.com, where you can work with me one-on-one or help support Sense of Soul podcast by donating to my coffee fund. Thanks for listening.